Among the many things that children never want to hear their parents say is, you should be more like him. As a kid, we all hated that. Why can't you be more like her? She always cleans up. I've been to her house. Why can't you do that? You two are such good friends. I was hoping a little bit of it would rub off on you. And we're taught, if we're really good parents, that we don't constantly compare our kids to other kids. And we shouldn't do that. So I want to let you know this morning that I grew up in a house where thousands of times I was told to be like someone else. Every Shabbat, my father would put his hands on my head and say I should be like Ephraim and Manasseh. Because that's how you're supposed to bless a son in the Jewish tradition, and I've committed the same parental sin with my daughter over and over again, putting my hands on her head and telling her not just that she should be like two people, but like four people. She should be like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. The poor kid. And that's a lot to put on a child, after all. In this week's parsha, we read about how Jacob blesses Ephraim and Manasseh. Fine. But why do we have to tell all our kids that they're supposed to be like them? And not only that, but it's a pretty high ideal. Ephraim means you should live a life of learning and of Torah, and Manasseh means you should live a life of work and of effort. So what we're doing is, we're saying to our children, you should be like the ideal, week after week after week. And if you think about it, you realize that it's strange from another perspective too, because every child is supposed to be different, so why do we give them all the same blessing? There are kids who are going to be like Manasseh, kids who are going to be like Ephraim, kids who are going to be like neither, kids who are going to be like both. But there are at least two kinds of blessings that we offer to other people. One is this generalized blessing. You can bless anybody with good health. Everybody wants that. Ephraim and Manasseh, or Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, means you should live a life of piety and success and effort and goodness, and everybody wants that. That sort of generalized blessing we understand to be not you should be like this kid, but that you should maximize the potential of your own soul. You should be blessed with that which everybody at their best really wants. And this seems to work until you think about who it is that we bless the most. Because we don't bless our children the most. And we don't even bless each other the most. The one that we bless most often is God. Baruch atah Adonai. Blessed are you, O God. We say it far more often than we say blessings, than we pronounce blessings on our children or on our friends or even on ourselves. And this is a problem, because how can you bless God? You understand that God's blessings might come through you to your child, but what is it that you are saying when you bless God? And this brings us to a deeper understanding of what a blessing really is. Because a blessing is an expression of relationship. When you say, bless you, God, you're saying, I wish to be close to you. In fact, it's a deep and beautiful way of thanking someone. When someone does something good for you and you say, bless you, what are you really saying? Thank you. But deeper than thank you, bigger than thank you, more sacred than thank you. It's bless you. It's all of me. is grateful for whatever it is you have done. And when we say, bless you, God, again and again, we see both in the Torah and later what we're really saying is we're grateful for closeness and we want greater closeness. That's what we want when we bless someone. And the truth is that when I think back on all the times that I was blessed by my father, that's what it was about. It was about relationship. I don't even think that he thought as he was blessing me, what qualities of Ephraim and Manasseh do I want David to have? No, what happened was I and my three brothers would line up, all four of us, oldest to youngest, and he would put his hands on our heads and repeat the same blessing for each one, which was another way of saying, I love you. But a sacred way of saying, I love you. And that's the essence of the blessing. I have not thought until this very morning, what qualities of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah do I want my daughter to have? So when I tell her on Shabbat, be like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, if she had said to me, in what way? I'd be stumped. It's just another way of saying, I love you. And if we think about blessing this way, then we realize that the general blessings we say are really an attempt to draw another person or to draw God closer or to draw ourselves closer to God. Remember, when you say Baruch Atah, blessed are you, you don't say you to anyone that isn't present. You only say you when someone's right here. You say them if they're far away. You, if they're here. So when you say, blessed are you, O God, you're saying it to a God who's right here, because you're saying you. So it's about relationship, not about giving God something that God needs. But as I said at the beginning, general blessings are not the only kinds of blessings. In fact, this morning, Jacob blesses each of his children, and he blesses each of them differently. They don't all get the one generic Jacob blessing. They get their own individual blessings. And that's because Jacob knows his children. Yes, we may give our children or our friends, or our spouses, or our parents, or our siblings, we may give them generic blessings, but also sometimes we have to bless them with what they need individually. And if you do that successfully, then you've achieved another level of blessing, which is the blessing of letting someone know that he or she is known. It is a blessing to understand someone else and to feel understood. And when you bless someone with what they need specifically at that moment in their lives, you're saying, I see you. I know you. I'm not plucking this blessing out of the sky and arbitrarily tossing it in your direction. I'm trying to bless you with what it is that you want and you need. And that too is an expression of relationship. Over and over and over again in the Torah, in our tradition, we express this idea of blessing. But we don't always realize what is at the heart of it, which is this drawing close, this attempt to create a connection between yourself and God, between yourself and other people. On Shabbat, when a parent blesses a child, it is the Jewish sacred way of expressing hope, but also expressing love. When Jacob gathers all of Israel together, gathers all of the 12 tribes to bless them, gathers all of his children, it's his way to express his parting love for his children who have to carry on his legacy. By extension, of course, since we are his children too, since we are B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel, it is Jacob's expression of love for us. Because this is the last point that I wish to make about blessing, is blessings endure. They don't disappear the moment that they are offered, and they don't even disappear when the person who offered the blessing is gone. All of us have been blessed by those who went before us, some whom we know and some whom we will never know. But when you give something to the future, when you bless someone for years to come, and the fruition of that blessing you may never even see, when you do that, that's also an expression of relationship and of love. Remember, at the beginning of the journey of our people, when Abraham is called by God, it says, "You shall be a blessing. The nations of the world shall be blessed through you." In other words, you have something to give, important, lasting, through the generations, throughout history. It's a gift of relationship, it's a gift of closeness, it's a gift of God. It's a gift of love. It's a blessing. Shabbat Shalom.